Let us open God's holy word. We're going to read two texts. We're going to first read from John chapter 18 to verses 33 to 38. And this is not part of John's series, but as you will see, the topic of truth has a very interesting aspect here in John chapter 18 to verses 33 to 38. After that, we'll turn to Ephesians. We'll read from chapter 6 to verses 10 to 20. And our verse for today, or a half verse, is 14a. But first, John 18, from verse 33 to 38. This is the living word of the living God. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come to the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Let us now turn to Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10 to verse 20. Ephesians 6 from verse 10 reads like this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray for God's blessing upon it. Dear Heavenly Father, we have read the written word that you sent to this earth for us to read. Now we pray by the living word that you would make life in us known, that you would teach us by the power of the Spirit, and that we might not ask with Pilate, "What is truth?" But that we might say with Christ, "We also have come to know the truth, but we have come to bear witness of the truth with our Lord." So Father, we pray that you would give me clarity to speak with boldness and power, but that you give all of us the power of the Holy Spirit to hear with an open heart, to be transformed by the power of your word. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, what is truth? That's a good question, isn't it? Especially in our day. Truth is, or at least used to be, one of the simplest concepts to understand. Love and courage have always been hard to define, but truth is simple and straightforward in the dictionary. Webster defines truth in three ways. First of all, it's the body of real things, events and facts, actuality. Secondly, it's the state of being the case, or the fact. And thirdly, when it's capitalized, it's a transcendent, fundamental, or spiritual reality. And that is what truth is. It's actual, factual, real. Things that don't change, things that stand, and as they stand, people can think things about it, but the truth doesn't change. And it seems simple enough, right? Something is either true or false. As you went in your school test when you were younger, and perhaps you were growing up in the times where you had to write out the answers. With our day modern students, it's easier because you can choose true or false. It's one of the two. You can't put an X in the middle and then debate. It's true or false. But our perceptions continuously change, and hopefully that when we look at truth, they become clearer and clearer, that we're closer and closer to what the truth actually is. And so even though our perceptions change, truth itself never changes. When something is true, now things can change over time, but the true, as it's recorded in a moment of time, and when it's true at that time, it was true at that time, and if it doesn't change in itself, it's still true today. We do not decide what is true or not. If it is true, it is true whether we agree or not, or when it's false whether we agree or not. Now I'm being pretty redundant, and if I'm going to do my whole sermon this way at the end of the evening, your minds just be spinning with redundancy as I go in circles and in circles, but I think all of you know why I'm doing this. Because truth in our day today is no longer true. True now becomes a personal attachment or opinion. I can make something true by thinking it is true, and your truth can be the opposite of my truth if you think it's true, and somehow both of us are right. I think that our definition, our new definition in our world today goes something like this. The truth is what I believe, think, or want to be true. And therefore, when I believe, think, or want something to be true, then it's true to me. But this is really not the definition of truth. Even Webster wouldn't go as far to say, well, that is truth. Truth is truth, and whether what I think or believe, whether it's the same or contrary, it doesn't change what is true. I may believe, think, or want to have $1 million, but that doesn't mean when I open my bank account, it's going to be there. Right? If you believe that you can make truth, try that. Put a random amount in your mind that you don't know and say, I'm going to have $5 billion by tomorrow in my bank account. It doesn't appear there. I may believe or think or want to be a tree. Hey, Slynn, you're here again. I have to give you as the example. If I want to be a tree and I believe I'm a tree, am I going to be a tree? Are there little leaves going to grow out of my head? No, right? I can say, well, I am truly a tree. And I can shake you by the shoulders. And don't you see that a tree is shaking your shoulders? And if you have any common sense or a perception of truth, you will look at me and you say, you're confused. But what you're saying is wrong. Truth doesn't change to thinking, believing, or wishing. It is what is reality, what is real. Truth is something or someone really, factually, and objectively is. Truth is like a belt that keeps your clothes together. If you forget to put your belt on, what happens? You'll start running and your clothes slide down and you trip, right? That's what truth is. If you let truth go and you try to live life, you're going to fall apart. You're going to miss what life is, and you're going to end with your face in the dirt sooner or later. But if you wear a belt, your clothes stay in the right place, and you can walk, or you can run, or you can play sports, or you can walk slowly, but your clothes will not be the problem. You will stay and stand still. In the same way, if we do not walk by the truth, we will trip and fall because we don't know what is real. There's no solid understanding of what we are or what we're doing or what's in front of us, and so we will fall, trip over in our life, and our faces will end in the dust if we can't discern between what is true and what is false. If you think about this, you see a bridge in front of you, and it's an old bridge, but you can see that somebody has marked markings on the steps, but you don't know what those markings mean. You've only heard that one color is the color of this one will stay if you stand on it, and the other one, you will fall through. Now, if you come in with your mind and you think, I'm just going to walk over that bridge because I believe all of them will hold me when I step on it, what will happen? You'll fall and you'll die. In the same way, if you've been after one night of light frost, you're going to walk over a lake and you say, I think it's the truth that I can walk on this ice. Have you ever tried that? I have. I'm sure I can walk on this ice. And the next thing I know, I wish that I would have worn boots, right? Because my socks and everything is wet. Why? Because me thinking it's true doesn't make it true. And so, but if we have truth and we live by it, we can walk because we see what is real and what is actual and what is clear, and then life begins to make sense. Truth is like a belt that keeps our shirt tucked in so that our shirt will not fly up in our face and make us blind. Truth is like a belt that keeps our pants in place so you won't trip over it and fall. And truth is like a belt upon which we can hang the tools of our trade so that we can work and make progress. And so the Holy Spirit tells us in Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore in the middle of this warfare, this spiritual warfare, having fastened on the belt of truth. You can have all these other things. You can have faith. You can believe to have righteousness. You can have the sword. But if you have not fastened on the belt of truth, you're like a soldier that's not wearing a belt. It's trouble. And you'll fall apart. And so Paul says in the Christian life, we are in constant war against lies. What's the first attack that Satan does in the Bible? Every children's Bible starts with that, doesn't it? Well, probably it starts with creation, and then you have a picture of a serpent and how the serpent lied to Eve, and so Eve fell and fell apart. And so in order to stand in the heat of battle, you must maintain standing by the truth. Truth must be like a belt to you that guards your whole life so you won't fall apart. And so tonight I want to introduce this rather than going over and over what a belt is and what truth is and how it's in the Roman army, how it was a soldier. We've done all that last time. I want to introduce you to three men. First is the man lost for truth. This is the one who wears no belt. Second is the man bringing the truth. He's the one who is the creator of the belt and the one who has the belt and has plenty to share. And the third one is the man who stands by the truth. He is a man who has received the belt and now can stand and walk safely. Our first man is a man lost for truth who presents the whole world. I don't know if you, when I was reading it in John 18, if you saw the tragedy that was happening. Our man's name this evening is Pontius Pilate. He served as the Roman governor over Judea who authorized Jesus' crucifixion in the first century. He was a powerful and accomplished man. He ruled and judged Judea for 10 years. He was a strong man, a man of judgment, a man of knowledge, a man of power, a man who knew what it is to climb the ladders of society. And this powerful and at times ruthless man was successful in what he did. He had a high office in the greatest world power the world has potentially ever known. And as a judge, he had the power to judge between life and death. Can you imagine a judge like that, that without any trial, without any case, people would go before him, have a short trial, and he would decide between life and death? This was a man with power, the likes that our world does, at least our country here, does not equal. A man who knew how the world works and knew how to climb up this ladder. This is the Pontius Pilate who meets a prisoner. A poor prisoner. The prisoner is a man who is carried by his own people in front of this Roman governor, this foreign man, to be judged to death. This is the picture of absolute weakness. A single man, his friend seems to be nowhere to be found. The whole nation seems to want to deliver this man to this Roman governor. And this is the conversation between the two. Pilate asks a question to who Jesus is and what his kingdom is. And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Here's this poor man standing in front of this mighty governor, and he says, I have a kingdom that is not of this world. And so Pilate asks him, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In other words, that's right, what your words, you're saying, the truth. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And then what happens is unbelievable. This governor says to this poor man who stands in front of him, who says, I come to witness the truth. He doesn't say, well, what do you know? He says, what is truth? You came to bear witness about this truth. I see you as an innocent man, and yet these people deliver you over. But what is truth? Jesus says, I came to declare the truth, to reveal the world what is real and true. And Pilate is stunned and taken back. When Pilate hears these words, it bewilders him, for he had never heard a man with such an assurance of what is true. And so he asks the sad question, what is truth? What is real? What is real in this world? I deal with people every day, but what is the truth? A Roman empire, and the emperor says that they know the truth, but I see the corruption in our own system. What is truth? We dominate Judea, and I see all kinds of things going on here, but what is truth? What is real? You almost wonder if he'd had more time, he would ask the question, what do you say is truth? Can you tell me your side? It was a moment of pure but sad honesty. A mature and powerful man wondering about what truth actually is. The most basic thing to know in all of life. What is true? And he doesn't know. And Pilate continued to judge Jesus, an innocent man, to death. Because he was afraid of his own career. He was a man lost for truth. He did not know what was true or false. And so the only solution is making truth dependent on himself. Whatever is true for him, so he will judge. And so he said, I will decide what is true for me and judge accordingly. As he washes his hands and gives Jesus over to be judged. As it is written in Judges 21, verse 25, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's the world in which we live. Perfectly captured by one picture of Pilate standing before Jesus Christ. What is truth? Standing in power and successful, this was not a man beaten off into the side, but a man in the power of his life, on top of the world, so to speak. But what is truth? I heard people talk, but what is real? In our days, even the most fundamental questions of what we are existentially has become an idea of personal judgment. I decide who or what I am, and you have to see that as true. Take the concept of gender fluidity. In America alone, there are 1.4 million people identified as the gender opposite to their biological gender. A gender is no longer based upon the biological facts at birth, but at the subjective wills of individuals. Now there's a concept that begins to grow that sets that to the side. It's no longer I can decide if I'm a male or a female. Now there's 100 different options that you can be between male and female. And so you can decide pretty much what you are, and it's your great goal in life to discover what you are. But the truth is quite clear. Those who are born as male are male, and those who are born as female is female. As a matter of fact, that sometimes you'd wonder what is really, if you wonder if you're the opposite sex, what does a male feel to be a male? A male takes responsibilities that belong to a male, but do you wake up in the morning and the first thing you think is, I really feel manly today. I feel like a male. Or do women wake up in the morning and say, well, I'm a female before anything else? No. It's just what you are. It's not everything of what you are. It's a part of what you are, but that's not a certain feeling of male or female. Now, there are differences between males and females, but now we've made it of an identity search. You can just put reality to the side and just imagine what you are. But there it goes even beyond that. On October 12, 2018, the Daily Mail covered the story of Tony McGinn, and it reads like this, and I quote, "Playing fetch on all fours might seem like an unusual activity for an adult, but one man who identifies as a dog said it has brought him closer to his husband. Tony McGinn, known as Tony Bark to his friends, says he has been into animal role play his entire life and refers to himself as a human pup." Sad, isn't it? It's almost funny to the point where Tony barked to his friends and he reversed, but it's a sad reality. What is truth? Can I decide? And that's why I began with that illustration of me as a tree. Tree and dogs are not that far removed if you compare it to a human being. Truth and reality has become fluent to the point that we believe that we can decide our own reality. The world seems to have gone beyond the question, what is truth? Now it just says, we make our own truth. And so because we can't know the truth, we'll just close our eyes, imagine what we want to be true, and then declare it to be true. And then you got to believe that what I say is true to me. That's sad. Because it doesn't come from we know who we are, and out of that we argue. It comes out of a complete blindness to who we are, and then everything is on the table. What is truth? Who are we? Why are we here? Where do we come from, and where are we going? Those questions are now passed on. We don't know the answers to that. We've given the answer to that to the side as the only thing in life that we will not agree with. And so we're going to say, what is truth? We'll decide what is truth. But of course, all the while, we remain utterly blind to the truth because we shoot in the dark, but we don't even know where to aim to. And so we have a society that runs wild to the point that now even our politics, it's no longer about saying the truth about real things, but it's about saying things that are persuasive, whether they're true or not. And this is on every side of politics, it seems. Because if you begin to speak the truth, so it seems, then you're a weak person and you will not, or you're a bigot, or you're just a know-it-all. And so you can just say whatever you want to please people's ears to persuade them. And so now you have parents going around and telling their children, you need to discover what you are. Telling six-year-olds, well, you need to discover what you truly are. Well, mom, am I not a boy? Well, maybe. Or a girl says, am I not a girl? Possibly. And if you really want to be a girl, you can be a girl. But don't exclude all the others. Maybe you need to discover a little longer until you settle that question. And so we've gone from the adults not knowing, and now we're instructing children who actually know more than most adults. And we try to form them and shape them into a certain know-nothingness that as adults we have thrown ourselves into. So, enough of the man who doesn't know. Let's come to the man who knows the truth, our second man. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in John 18:37, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born in. I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Isn't that fascinating? That Jesus uses that. He doesn't say to bring salvation here. He says, I've come here to bear witness to the truth. That's what he says to the judge. Can you imagine if there is a person that's seen as a criminal brought before the judge, and he looks at the judge and he says, I'm here to tell the truth. The one who is about to be judged is the one who came into the world to bear the truth. And everyone who is off the truth listens to my voice. What that means is this, that those whose heart and eyes are open to what is actually truth, they'll be able to see it. We take the blindfold off our eyes, then becomes crystal clear what is real and what is not real. And so Jesus said, it was my purpose for coming into the world to bear witness to the truth, to reveal what is real. My purpose for coming to the earth was to reveal that which is actual and true and real. I don't wonder about the truth. I have the truth, and I came here to spread it, to tell what is going on. For ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, mankind has been confused about the truth. When Adam and Eve's eyes opened, they closed for reality. They're confused about the love of God, which is probably the most sad reality of all. Confused about who they are. That's where the evolution theory comes from. Confused about righteousness, sin, and judgment. Confused about where they came from. That they were made in a marvelous way, were knitted together in the womb with a God who has purpose and reason and love. They don't know why they're here. Because if you came out of a cosmic accident, then what's your purpose for living? And finally, they don't know where they go after this life. If you don't know where you came from and you don't know why you're here, and then you're never going to know where you're going for. And so what's the end of life in this world? Just to tickle the senses? Well, then you're going to go, I'm going to declare the truth because I'm going to fill my senses with as much pleasure as I can. But they don't realize that the more you fill your senses, the more your senses die and dumb to pleasure. So that the more they seek to get, the more depressed they're going to be. And so they walk around with entire holes of emptiness and uselessness and purposelessness in their hearts. As they tell each other how purposeful they feel, they've lost purpose to themselves. And so our depression and anxiety has skyrocketed, and now where people can't meet and see each other anymore, it's even worse, where suicide rates are constantly broken because people don't know who they are, where they came from, or where they're going. But here comes Jesus, speaking with absolute certainty. I came to bear witness to the truth. A great light shone into Israel. A great light came from heaven and brought the reality and brought the truth right to this world. He revealed it all. He showed it all. Now we should understand the words of Jesus rightly. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And Jesus isn't just saying true things. He isn't going to say every possible true thing. He didn't say if you get hit with a sledgehammer, it hurts, which would be a true statement. But he is going to speak about the truth, the most important truth that decides all of life, that affects all of us, that answers the question that are deep hidden into our hearts. Well, what is this message of the truth? It's this, that God made you, and he formed you, and he decided that you would be born, and he made you in the most magnificent way. He formed you as no scientist, even you put all of them together, they cannot even begin to make one part of the human body. But then we haven't even spoken about the mind and its brilliance. The person with the lowest IQ in the world has a mind that is greater than the largest computer in this world. And then you have the soul, out of which comes love and compassion and care. And then you have creativity, where we hardly even know where to place that. We put it in the right side of the brain. But it's far greater than that. You try to put some electric shocks through tissue and blood, and there's nothing that's going to come out. You're not going to get musical pieces or beautiful poetry or art or marvelous speeches or anything else. But then the second part of that truth is that man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God, who made us for his glory, to see him and to forever revel in his kindness and love towards us, we turn the other way and we've fallen short to be able to walk with him. And the judgment is coming, that God will judge all men according to their works, to those who have done right, eternal glory, and to those who have done wrong, eternal damnation. But we've already said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And up to this point, man doesn't want to hear it. Because if that is true and we're going to be damned, we'd rather just not know what the truth is at all and make our own world and try everything possible to see that there is no God. Because if there's a God, and it's like the God in Scripture, then we have failed. We have to come with the reality that we must repent and we need mercy and grace from God. It's actually interesting if you look at these famous scientists. If you look at Richard Dawkins, for example, whose name is well known in the secular world, when it comes to the question of where life originated from, he begins to speak about the possibility that there were aliens that planted human life upon this world. That there is a possibility, because he says there is no other way that life could have come out of itself. But you see what he's doing. He's trying to avoid that there could be a God, and so there must be an alien somewhere out there. At least it's not God, but it must have been something out there that planted life on this world. Whatever we're trying to do, God cannot exist. That's the basic premise from which we begin to think and look at this world. But Jesus came from God as the Son of God. And he says, there's none of that nonsense. What is real is this. God made the heavens and the earth, and I made you, and I formed you, and I know you, and I even know all of your sin. But that is not the end of the message. Because Jesus came to bear witness to the truth that He, God, sent the Redeemer to earth. That even though you've sinned, even though you've run the wrong way, that even though you've done everything possibly wrong, whether you've identified as whatever, if you've gone contrary to your nature, even if you've gone from being born a man and made yourself a woman, or if you've lived a homosexual lifestyle, or if you've killed people, or whatever you've done in this life, Jesus came to this world to redeem you and transform you and to make you a son or daughter of the living God. And that is true. Which answers the fundamental questions of life. Where did we come from? God's heart. Why are we here? God's heart. And where are we going? To God's home. And that is the truth. But we know this, right? I'm not saying anything new, but I want you for one moment to think that you were living without that knowledge, without that truth. Your world would not make sense, would it? If you don't know where you came from, why you're here, or where you're going, everything is just a waste of space and time. If it's good, it's joy, but how long will it last? When will the next depression hit again? But Jesus came to bear witness about the truth, so that all those who want to hear, who have their hearts open to God and say, "Speak to me who I am," God says, "I am the one who made you and who loves you and who died for you and who will one day bring you to me if you just open your eyes and look at what I've done." Then, okay, God, if you made me, then show me how is it possible that I could come into your presence because I know what I've done. Well, look at the cross. The cross? Why would I look at a place of torture? Well, look who's on there. A man hanging in shame. It's too horrific even to see. That's my son. Because that was your place. The blood that flows there was your blood, was supposed to be your blood. But you don't even see it all. Look above the cross and you see the greatest wrath of God poured out upon His own Son. You say, "Why? Stop." But it doesn't stop. It's poured out to its last drop until the full force of God's wrath is poured out to your Son until you're on your knees and saying, "Why? Why has done nothing wrong?" And He's carried off the cross, laid in the tomb. And your heart is broken in two. And you say, "God, if you're my God and you made me, why do you show me all of this?" But your son died. You wait there. 3 days. And after 3 days, suddenly a great light shines and angels come from heaven. And the soldiers in front of the grave are pushed to the side. They fall down and the angels roll away. And there comes out of the tomb the man you saw die upon the cross. But he's no longer dead. He's alive. And he comes to you. And he says, I took your place. I hung upon the cross for your sins. I died for your death. So that now when you believe in me, you can walk with me in life. Because I have overcome your death and overcome your punishment. So that you can walk with me forever and ever and ever. And that, my dear friends, is the purpose of human life. To meet Jesus. To understand that all of our sins have been placed upon the cross. So that we know where we came from. We know what we've done wrong and fallen short of the glory of God. But we also know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that His sins, our sins have been paid. And then we say, but Jesus, where are you going? Why are you going to heaven? He looks back and he says, I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you. Because even though I want you to live in this world to spread what I have done to you, to others around you, this is not a home fit for you. I'm going to prepare a house. Now, if Solomon could build a house of splendor for God, how much better of a house you think that God can build for us? Our heavenly home. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, not of the little things here and there, none of the little questions of the earth, but about your soul, your eternal soul. For this is what the world does not realize. People don't become 80 years old on average. People become an eternity old on average. Our soul never dies. Our life on earth, when we see some elderly in our congregation, we think they're old. No, you're like little toddlers, newborns compared to eternity. Isn't that glorious? Your life has just begun. If you think you've learned things over the past, you haven't seen nothing yet. Life lies before you rather than behind you. Your life has just begun. You barely got teeth. Not because they're gone, but because they're just coming out. Right? You're just growing up. But one day you get out of the diapers of this earth and stand as children of the living God before His presence. And that is the news that Jesus comes and brings to this earth. That's the truth that Pilate does not know. Can you imagine Pilate, Pontius Pilate, knowing this, that Jesus came to bring this message? He would have never dared to condemn Him or touch Him. This brings us to our last man, the man standing by truth. This is the man or woman, when I say he, I'm also speaking about women, because otherwise every time I'd have to say he or she and go on and it speaks about men and women. This is the man or woman who has received the belt of truth. In other words, he or she has heard the words of Jesus Christ, believed in Him, and his or her eyes have been opened. That's the belt of truth. Yes, the Bible as a whole is the belt of truth. In a way, everything that is truth part belongs to that belt. But the real belt of truth is knowing what Christ has done for your soul. Because that is what keeps your life together in this world. And then you have become children of the light, whose eyes have been opened to understand the world they live in. The more truth you have, the more light you have. If you have received the truth, you've received the light of Christ. Now it is here that Paul writes, fasten on the belt of truth that you may be able to stand in the evil day. You must hold on to this belt, my friends. And the reason why I put this belt around you every week with the gospel is because I know that when you lay it aside, you will fall. Because your eyes will be covered with the cloak, or your feet will stumble, because Satan will put lies in your heart like this one This week you've not been good enough for God. This week his love is weaker towards you. But the belt of truth says this: Jesus died for me, and if he died for me, will he not, now that he's raised from that, give me freely all the things I need? That he who loved me while we were still sinners, will he not far more love us now that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Now, when you're confused about the truth about God in this world, Satan and the world will have no problem with you. They will leave you to the side because you're in the dark. But now that you've been brought to the light, you receive the testimony of the truth of the gospel. And now that you stand through the reality of the salvation of Jesus Christ, what will the enemy do to you? It will try to trip you. It will try to put different thoughts in your hearts about the gospel. This simple, simple gospel. This little walk with glorious, but little walk with Christ. Past the cross, to the tomb, seeing the resurrection, and then the ascension, that small walk of seeing Christ, Satan will do everything to make you doubt, to lay that to the side. Because as soon as you do, you're going to trip and fall. Now he will make you lay aside the truth, lay off the belt, and make you fall. And he will not try to make you lay the truth to the side all at once, but he will try to slip you out of it. How do you say that? A belt hole? One by one, until it's completely off and it falls away. He will put doubt in your heart. He will make you think about God as not a God of grace and truth and love. He will make you look at God as the God who still judges his children as a hard judge. He will make you forget that you've brought into the mercy and love of Christ, which is a place in between the hand of the Son and the hand of the Father, that no one can ever touch you. He will make you doubt it. He will use your blessings and curses in this life to make you wander away from Christ. He will make you lean on your own understanding, or will make you afraid to trust God. But you've been given the belt of truth, have you not? That's not God, where millions of people, billions of people don't know the gospel truth, but he didn't pass you by. You've heard him, and that word has gotten a place in your heart, and so keep standing with that belt tightened fast, and don't touch it. Let it protect you and guard you and watch over you, because it places you in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so as soon as you would give into this lie, you will stumble and fall, but you won't, because God's armor stands around you. And so the first part of this armor is this belt of truth, which is the truth of the gospel, the message that Jesus came to bring into this world, the message that Pilate said, what is truth? The message that the world says, what is truth? The message where we say, this is the truth, that Jesus died for me, but he rose from the dead, and therefore now I live. And whether good or bad befall me, I will stand by the truth of the gospel. And one day, I don't have to hold on tight to this belt anymore, because I will go out of this battlefield into the throne room of God, where I can see this truth written on every wall, upon every face, from every lips, and it will come constantly to me from every angle, that the Lord my God loves me, and I will stand forever and ever in his throne room. No more war, but peace. Until that day, fasten on the belt of truth that God has given you. And don't let it go. No matter what man or angel may say, this is the word of the living God. And to that we say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you don't need the strong to build your kingdom. You use the weak, the needy, the poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the meek of the land. to show the power of the gospel, because this belt is indestructible. Therefore, Father, we pray that you remind us again and again by that holy word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which we can stand surely. So, Father, I pray if there be anyone here tonight that has never seen that belt of truth, that still wonders in this world, wondering who they are and why they keep falling and don't understand this life, I pray that you would open their hearts, and you, the God who made them, who has given them ears to hear, that you would speak with your lips to their ears the salvation that belongs to them in Jesus Christ. Father, to those who have been saved, I pray that the belt of truth might be fastened so tight around them that they'll never stumble or fall in the matter of salvation. For we pray all these things in the name of your Son, our beloved Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.